Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And it is Judd's Hockey Show. Welcome aboard. It's Judd. It is AJ Fredrickson. It is us talking about the Minnesota Wild as they make their way to their slow and pretty grotesque to watch death here in the playoff race. Obviously losing 5-4 in overtime in a game they easily could have won against the St. Louis Blues on Saturday afternoon at the X and H. They are now off for 4 days, while just for a comparison's sake, the Golden Knights will play tomorrow at St. Louis, then they're at Nashville, then they're at Winnipeg before the Wild plays again. Or actually, the Golden Knights are at the Jets on the same day that the Wild plays next against the Sharks. The Blues have obviously a couple of games as well. Right now, the Wild 6 points back of the Golden Knights, who are in the eighth and final playoff spot. They're two back of the Blues, who have had great success against them of late, and they are sitting at 77 points in 71 games. So let's get to yesterday and what transpired there. And I actually want to surprise you. I want to start with the positives here.
Yeah,
we talk a lot about what's wrong with this team, and I'm like, it's to a certain degree beating a dead horse. But I want to talk about two positive things. One we've talked about a lot and heap praise on this guy, but because of that, we probably have not heaped enough praise on another guy who this show, to be clear, was calling to play for a long time and got his chance and, had a really good game on Saturday with what, 2 goals, 2 points, a plus one, played 20 minutes and 53 seconds. Let's start with Marco Rossi. You know, Marco Rossi is a guy who we've said, I think you said it. I think I said it. I think Declan said it. Jesse as well. Coming into this season, that it's go time. Like, you need to find out. His 2 goals on Saturday got him to 20. I think that there is a really interesting conversation, despite his incredible statistical production, to have about the fact that Brock Faber should win the Calder based on impact on team above Connor Bedard. But make no mistake, I'm glad that Brock is on the Wild, but if he was not, I feel like, age, we'd be talking about Marco Rossi a lot more. And, you know, 20 goals from a guy who I think a lot of people considered to be a bust, fair or not, and it clearly was not fair, but 20 goals and the way that he is playing currently with Kaprizov, I think it's a major, again, I think in a couple of years, this team's going to be damn good. And I think when you watch that guy play, his strength now, his skill, and this gets back to when you're playing them with guys who are just guys, guess what? It's hard to make them look good. Like, you're not Gretzky. No. So I really believe that it is that we probably, and we're guilty of this as well, have not praised Rossi enough. That kid has had a hell of a year. And I think we can safely say when this season does come to a conclusion, he will not go into training camp of 2024. With this question mark of, I think he's a bust. I think he is a proven commodity now, and I have been impressed and good for him because there were a lot of people who doubted him.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say it was fair at the time to have your doubts, but to write him off completely, given everything we know, everything that he's gone through with the myocarditis, just everything, doubts, yes, but to write him off, I think, was completely unfair because you have to remember he is just so young. He's still rookie eligible this year. He's still Calder eligible this year, despite having a couple stints with the big club. So, like you said, we determined earlier this year, this is it. This is your determining season. You have to either make an impact or the Wild are probably going to look to move on from the Marco Rossi project. I would like to say that it's an absolute delight to watch him. Like you said, you can see the toughness, the strength is there. He kind of like, he bulked up a little bit to the point where you saw these pictures come out of it, like his workouts. And it was like Marty St. Louis-esque where you're like, God, this guy's got thighs that look like tree trunks. Like, you could tell is a noticeable difference from kind of the sopping wet 116 pound looking kid to, okay, this is a young man. Like, he's definitely filled out and now has that kind of NHL pro body type. And I think that pairs well with the mentality for everything. Like I said, this guy's gone through everything that he's had to face in his very young hockey career. He's so mature. He's got that drive. He's got that engine that it just doesn't stop. Sure, we've seen some down points for him throughout the season. And granted, you could argue he probably is just coming out of one now. And that performance yesterday maybe fully has like got the monkey off of his back. But this is a guy that I think, to me, has sent the message, I am here. I'm a vital part of this team moving forward. I deserve the spot. And frankly, I think he should be looked at as, you could probably put him between a guy like, or some guys like Kaprizov and Boldy moving forward as your 1C, especially with Joel Eriksson Ek out for from injury right now. Like, he, to me, is probably the best bet for the 1C for the Wild.
Well, and I thought that, and if I'm not mistaken, the first line yesterday was technically Rossi, Kaprizov, Zuccarello, and Boldy was on the second line, which is fine. But I thought that you saw glimpses, and yes, you're right. Marco has not been perfect. And I mean, kids are going to go up and down. Faber has gone up and down. It's a long year. And they're not yet to that veteran status where you're like, you got to push through this guy. But I thought that there were certainly some plays yesterday where Kaprizov and Rossi especially played off each other just marvelously. And like, that's what we're talking about. One, when we say, okay, I understand that Hartman can center that line, but he shouldn't be. Like, the skill that you saw with Rossi and Kaprizov and the creativity, I want to say it's like a great painter. And like a guy like Kaprizov, if you give him a blank canvas, you know, if you put him with a guy like Rossi, mm-hmm. you see what he can do. And it's like, oh my God, like there's plays here that are phenomenal. You put him with Hartman, and it's like, okay, Grinder, here's the puck. And Hartman's like, I'm going to, you know, and that doesn't mean he doesn't have a role. But what it does mean is, to me, it's symbolic of, okay, do you want the center who you consider to be the veteran and responsible, who, by the way, takes some dumb penalties, or do you want the kid that can develop? And this is my whole thing. This is all development. I know I don't care about the playoffs. I care about the development. And my answer is, like, if I sit down with that film of the Blues game, and yes, it's disappointing, but if I sit down with that film and I'm watching Kaprizov and Rossi, I'm not saying, well, I'm finding fault with how the center played. I'm saying, oh my God, like, this is the future. And this also comes back to our frequent conversations. I think this is incredibly important about your depth, guys. Because if you put Rossi, it's like, who's Dadonov right now? Unfortunately, we got no clue. Because he's with muckers. Mm-hmm. Like, he's with muckers. And muckers don't give him any chance. We don't see any of his skill. We don't have any clue. Which frustrates me again, because it's like, we're trying to win these games. Well, no, develop the kid. And then on Brock. Now, first of all, and I feel like this, I don't know if this conversation has dissipated because of Bedard coming back, because it's not being taken as seriously now. But I tweeted this during the game. I think that Brock deserves the Calder. And Faber also. So I'm going to tell you a story, and I don't think it's a defining one, but I think it's important. After that game yesterday, which was, you know, to the players, brutally disappointing. And I get it. Some guys probably don't care much. Some guys certainly do. Faber does. He's young, impressionable, and he cares. And so the media, the beat people, you know, Sarah's and Russo's and Shipley's, they request who they want to talk to. Because just for a point of reference, the Wild locker room is not where players go post game. There's a back room. And so the locker room is post game is empty, aside from the guys who have been requested to come out and talk. So it's not like where you just go into a clubhouse and everybody's there and you can just pick guys off. Okay. Faber, who had, you know, who scored the tying goal at 4-4 in the third period, had been requested. And when we walk in there, the two guys that were sitting there just ready to go were Faber and Fleury. And that's not an accident. One is an old man who had just broken his stick and was pissed off. And so, you know what? Sat there and you could tell he was pissed. And that's the thing I love about him. He is so competitive. But you could tell age he was pissed. But he sat there and waited while Brock talked. And Brock's a young kid still. But you can see it. You can see it, man. He was ready to talk. He was ready to. And it's not like to be negative. He knew this was an obligation. And this is where he's a captain. He knew it was an obligation, and he knew, like, okay, I am a huge part of this team, and I'm going to act like it. And he's not a super young kid, but he's still a kid. And to me, that was so impressive, because that's a loss where A, you could try to duck us completely, or B, you're probably in the back room and you saunter out and hope that we've left or have dissipated. Brock Faber and the Flower. I just found the parallel, because their ages are so far apart, to be such an interesting juxtaposition of two men willing to take responsibility and age. You know, my longtime wild bitch and moan has been, this team is far too off and not had guys like that. I really appreciated that. And to me, it spoke even more volumes about the maturity of a defenseman at a young age, who I think is just absolutely going to be a star. And more importantly, is going to be one of the most important voices in that room for years to come.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Just Flower and Faber. That just reassures to me how good of hands I think this franchise is in. Granted, this is me assuming that they keep them under lock and key, they extend contracts, they re-sign and all this stuff. So that, you know, bear with me on that. But how good of hands I think moving forward, because we just talked about, and I'm maybe higher than most on Marco Rossi and his mentality and everything. I think he probably is a leader in the locker room eventually. Brock Faber, I think, already is. Right. And to your point, this is a perfect example of, this is a 21-year-old rookie who, sure, you have your Connor Bedard. He's got the name. He's the first overall draft pick. Yes, he's really the only star on that Blackhawks team. It's expected that he's probably doing a lot of media, post-game presses, comments, that type of thing. After a tough loss at home, you are pushing for the playoffs. You are fighting for something. Who is in the locker room? A future Hall of Famer and a young up-and-coming rookie. That is, God, that's incredible.
And just set to go.
He just gets it. He just gets it, doesn't he?
Yes, yes. In fact, I go back to, there was a story, I think it was training camp. Somebody said this, but they said Brock, and look, like, I think part of it was a trio. Brock took his time after practice to leave, but, you know, he was in there like every day. Like, guys get out of there quick. And he was in there every day, and he would talk. And I, you know, it's not that he is trying to butter up to us at all. It's that he just gets it. Like you said, he just totally gets what goes with the responsibility. And I mean, that is, you talk about culture, like what Bill Guerin wants to build. That's the definition right there. Guys that take, and they might be pissed and they might be short with their answers. Like this is not a, hey, we're buddies. It has nothing to do with us, because as I've long said, we don't live in the same world, nor do you as professional athletes, but what you do live in is a world of accountability. Mm-hmm. And like those two guys, and yes, they were both requested. So this is not like a rip on guys that weren't requested. This is more of a realization of like, this is so interesting because this is the culture. This is what, you know, he knows it's his responsibility after a loss like this, in which he played a key role. And by the way, got a key penalty. He, you know, I know it was offsetting, but Jake Neighbors and Brock Faber being in the penalty box to start 3-on-3 was, and Jake's a good player, but I mean, advantage Blues big time.
Yeah.
And Brock was pissed off about it and talked about it, but he didn't duck it, you know? And so I just think that those two guys, as big of disappointment as this roller coaster of a season has been, and as much as there is negative things to say, responsibility to be handed out, I think it's important to acknowledge that why we've talked about the future of this team being so bright is elements like this. And yeah, Rossi, I don't think he's as mature as Brock, but I mean, but my God, 20 goals from a guy who's bounced from line to line, you know, like it ain't like he's gravy trained Kaprizov his entire season. He's been on some lines that are not that great. And you think about too, as a young player age, you think about the amount of opportunities Rossi has missed. Like he's had scoring stretches. In fact, the drought that you're talking about included several chances.
Yes.
That I don't think in 2 years he misses.
Yeah.
So to me, that's a positive.
I want to get your thoughts here. You probably do remember, and Jason Demers, former NHLer, defenseman, played for the Flyers. He's now an NHL Network analyst. Yep. He tweeted this out yesterday, last night. He goes, "I'm sorry, Brock Faber is the Calder winner this year. I want to be, I want to see someone convince me otherwise. All caps, Bedard is a superstar, but he's not the Calder Trophy winner this year.
Correct.
40 points for a first-year defenseman, 25-minute average a game, plays power play and penalty kill. Everybody needs to open their eyes.
Correct.
The national media is finally taking notice, and I understand that Bedard is, I mean, he's fantastic. He's mm-hmm. going to be a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
And he might already be, but mm-hmm. he is so talented on that team right now. I value it by impact on a team. If given the injuries, like Spurgeon is out, Brodin is hurt, without Brock Faber on the blue line, this Wild decor is essentially matching up with probably what the Blackhawks are putting out there on a nightly basis. Just because he's a defenseman, he doesn't have the flashy points. You have to look at metrics. You have to look at how valuable he is to that team. Connor Bedard is not willing this Blackhawks club to a playoff spot or even in a race. Like they're non-competitive. They're non-competitive. The Wild are not who they are if you don't have a Brock Faber on the blue line. So, your thoughts on the Demers comment there?
He's exactly right. Like, so if you came to me right now and said, okay, you can have Faber or Bedard 100 out of 100 times, I'm taking Connor. So like, this is not a referendum on them as players.
Yes.
Bedard, to your point, is probably a superstar. Now he for sure is going to be a top 3 to 5 player within the next couple of years. Especially once he starts to fill out just a bit, because he is very, very slight.
Yes.
That being said, the Calder is rookie of the year. It's not brightest future for a rookie playing this season. And what Faber's done is nothing short of miraculous. Again, I would, Fiala goes up and down, and when he's on, he's on. Like, Kevin Fiala is a special player. Don't get me wrong here. He is certainly not, you know, he's a good player. So just, I'm being very clear here. This is not a homer take, but the Wild have won that trade. Like, you have a defenseman who eats minutes, who is like wired, like you want a guy like this. And yeah, he's got a pudgy little face, and right now he looks like he's 12 or 13. But you know what? This guy's gonna fill out. The hair's gonna get gray. I mean, I remember age. I go back so far that when the early 2000s, I remember a fresh faced kid named Brent Burns, who looked like he was 11, you know? I mean, you never would see all the teeth being gone and the big beard and the, so like, and in fact, it's funny when I look at Brock now, I'm like, dude, in 10 years, you're going to be a grizzled, your face is going to be skinny. You're going to be grizzled and no one's going to recall you now. But yeah, I Jason Demers is 100% right. And what Faber is doing for the position he's playing with the team he's playing on, you know, no Spurgeon, no Brodin mm-hmm. for big chunks. He fits the definition of rookie of the year. His rookie season is better than Bedard's, not from a point, but he's a defenseman. And like Jason said, 40 points. Like, you just think about what he's done yesterday, for instance, 23 minutes, 47 seconds again. And that's just a normal night for him.
Yeah.
So like, I can't say enough good things about this kid. And while I do disagree with a lot of the things or some of the things that Bill Guerin definitely did with, you know, extending guys, no trade clauses, mm-hmm. that Fiala trade is a rabbit out of a hat. And I've watched Brock play college. I didn't see this. It's weird though, dude. You know what else? So when Quinn Hughes was on Michigan, mm-hmm. I went to a couple of games. I want to say I went to back-to-back years when he was there. I think he was there a couple of years. At Mariucci to watch him play.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, okay, he's fine. He's okay. He's not that great. I don't know what happens. I don't know if you get here and you take your talent up to their talent. Like, he was good, but he didn't skate circles. Like, he didn't. And it seems, and Brock was really good, but it didn't seem to me like it's like he was lapping the Division I field. And now that he's here, it's like, oh my God, I missed something there. Quinn mm-hmm. Hughes was the same way, but this kid is special. And yes, I think he deserves that award, no question.
On that point, really quick, got to keep an eye on who just missed, I want to say, my top 10 earlier this year around kind of the holiday time when we talked about it, is now skyrocketing. Zeev Bouyam, defenseman for Denver. dagger into my heart, eliminating my St. Cloud State Huskies in overtime in the first round of the NCHC Frozen Faceoff. This kid, he looks the part, and he seems like a guy that once he gets to the show is going to, like you said, elevate, raise his game. So that's a guy right now where Brock Faber, Zeev Bouyam on a blue line for the Minnesota Wild, dangerous, just dangerous.
Oh, I'm telling you, I think the future's bright.
Yep.
I keep saying that, and I've gotten notes back. No, it's not. They still lack this and that and this and that. But you know what? It's why I want guys to play now.
The framework is there, I think. Like,
I agree.
You just don't have a top prospect pool ranking for 3 years in a row, or like a top three for 5 years in a row.
Right.
Now you graduate a couple guys, and now they're at 11. Now to see that it's not working out, guys. No, it's because the guys that are no longer in the prospect pool, they're on the NHL club. They're in their first year or two. You're going to have Wallstedt come up here next year, and he's going to, guess what? You're going to go down again. But the thing is, they have Yurov, Ogren's coming. There are guys that are still going to come into this team. The troops are going to be replenished. The older guys are going to sunset, and the new age is going to be glorious. And it's just a matter of having those guys get the chance to fill out, get time on ice, and you make the judgment call of, okay, yes, he fits, keep him. No, he doesn't. Let's alter. Let's change plans. Yep. And right now, these final, 10, 11 games that the Wild have, that should be the mindset. And we've talked about this more than enough. You make the playoffs, fine, fantastic. Pat on the back, I'll give you a round of applause. That is not the goal. The goal is to get these guys that have not had a chance. Merritt Husnadinov should not be getting less than 12 minutes of ice time.
735. He got benched. I don't know. He took a shift in the third period.
And let me ask you this, because this is probably just me overreacting. We've already set the precedent that you need points. When you go to overtime, you need both points.
Right.
Why aren't we getting ballsy here against the Blues? Why aren't we going all out against the Blues? If really your goal is to win games and make the playoffs, why are we letting an overtime 3-on-3 session? Right. Just, okay, you know what? We're going to, maybe if we go to a shootout, that's fine. That's fine this time. Right. Who cares? You've already done it. Go out and try to get the points. Because frankly, at this point, you're doing yourself the favor of, fine, you either get the points, great. You gained a point on them. You already went to into overtime session. You couldn't get it done in regulation. You're hurt there, but you need the extra point now. You pull the goalie. I'm not saying you should do this all the time, but like, you've already done it, right?
Well, you know, what's funny is I thought that, and again, I honestly don't care. But I thought that they might pull Fleury at the end of the third, because if you pulled him in OT again, the Blues would be expecting it. Like that worked against the Predators, because the Predators were like, oh, what the hell? We're killing a penalty now? This is a bunch of garbage. Now Hines has tipped his hand there. So I thought that they might be tempted. And this is, I just want to make this very clear. This is not a, oh my God, he should have done this.
No.
I thought he might get creative and pull Fleury at the end of the third. Because if you're gonna forfeit your points, you're gonna forfeit your points.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna get zero if you lose with the pulled goalie at the end of the third, and because of the overtime rule, you're gonna get zero if you lose. So I thought he might surprise them in the last minute of regulation, but there was no indication there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Husnadinov thing, and it's like John, you ain't playing guys that are that good. And now he is playing he's driving Kaprizov into the ground. I went out to Jesse Pearson, complained about that again, because I mean, Kaprizov, God bless him, and he's unbelievable. Like, we could do a whole show on this guy. His time on ice yesterday was 24:59. I think that let's see, Jake Middleton 25:01. I think that was second most on the entire team, and that's a forward. Like, he was triple shifting it. I don't even know what he was doing. But yeah, I thought the same thing, but then I'm like, I don't really care. And then the OT. Russo had a great point in his story today, which was in the OT. If you go back and watch the side goal, that is set up by Binnington playing the puck, because Boldy did a flyby on Binnington instead of stopping and forcing a faceoff.
And then
that was a very weird play.
Yeah, and then on the way back, he is spread out like butter on toast, going like crust to crust. Stay in the middle. And granted, he's a forward, so maybe I'm not supposed to expect him to realize he got to keep it tight there, but
oh no, he could have done more work.
But so far, like, you do the flyby, I'm going to give you so you can get back on the defense in position, but then you're out of position on the transition. So side can blow right past everybody and score. Like, it's one or the other. Stay in Binnington's grill and either make him freeze the puck or like play a risky pass.
And he'll get pissed off.
Yeah, that too. And that's such
he gets mad.
He's such a maniac. So like, that's going to ruffle his feathers.
He plays the puck when he shouldn't too. So, yeah. So like, there is a chance that if Boldy had stood there, he might've done something incredibly dumb. The other thing on that play on the Saad goal. And by the way, Saad's like my age by now. My God, he's been playing since like 67. It feels like it. Like, he was a Blackhawk, and then he was a Blue Jacket, and then he was a Blackhawk, and now he's a Blue. He's been with the Blues like 3 years. On that play, though, the other thing, and this guy had a terrible game. Did you see Zuccarello? Zuccarello was behind Boldy gliding back. That's not to be confused with the Kyrou yes. goal, where at center ice, Kyrou, I don't know how, if there's such a description for it, Zuccarello did what amounted to a flyby on Kyrou.
He just sidestepped.
He like ducked out of his way.
Yeah, he did the second.
What was that?
You step up looking like you're going to play the body, and then you just play nothing. You know, it's like you just ghosted. It doesn't. Some of the defensive efforts that we saw yesterday, it's just like, how do you have a Marco Rossi who goes and does a stick lift saving a great before you know, scoring
right.
chance
That's
and then
one.
Coast to coast going down fantastic sequence. But then the guys who are older supposed to be the leaders.
Yeah.
Ole. Like, doesn't matter.
Out on him too. I'm out on Mats. It feels like he tries to lead when it suits him at times. Like you hear, he gave an impassioned speech, mm-hmm. but dude, you can't have a game like that. And this is, I will pick on him because of his age and experience. Mm-hmm. It's one thing if a rookie has a bad game and it's like, okay, it's a long year. The kid needs to learn. I'm even willing to cut Boldy a bit of slack, although he does tend to piss me off. And now he's back into one of those stretches where he can't hit the broadside of the barn. But anyway, Zuccarello, that game from him is inexcusable. I mean, he had the breakaway that he didn't even get on net. He had another chance that he muffed. And to your point, the Kyrou goal, he just basically bypassed him. On the OT side goal, he's like gliding back. I'm done with him. I would look to move him. I think that type of stunt is an indication of personality. And that's not what I want Kaprizov to like be associated with. Like, Kirill Kaprizov's out there killing himself. And his best friend is... And then, of course, that also, and see, this is where you're going to have to clean up things. And I know that guys have no trade clause and stuff, you know, but my guy, Marcus Johansson, gets a talking to from Darby on Friday. You know, God bless him. Hardworking Darby Hendrickson, the ultimate survivor, too. The guy survived more coaching changes. And that's a guy that probably didn't have the talent to play in this league, but he did because he worked his ass off. Mm-hmm. And that's a compliment. So he gives, I think, according to Russo's tweet, half hour talk at practice on Friday. And Johansson sure as bleep comes out there yesterday and not only works his ass off, but goes into the greasy areas. He scores a goal. And I got a note from a guy aged that said, well, yeah, you pick on him, but not Goudreau as much. And I said, well, first of all, Goudreau's a problem. I'm not saying he's not, okay? No. But he doesn't have the God-given talent. Like, it's the Wild's fault. They extended him. Goudreau works his butt off. I don't think it's ever like he's taking shifts off.
Yeah.
Marcus Johansson has to be taught. And you know what you're going to get now. You're going to get about a three-game spurt. Yeah. where he's going to go into the dirty areas. He's going to score a few goals. He's going to, you know, celebrate like he just won the cup, and then he's going to pull the same stunt again. It infuriated me. He played well because that was not a bounce back game. That was I'll show him. I'll be engaged game. And that's a bunch of crap.
He is the equivalent of you're on the highway and you're running late to work or something. You got to get somewhere. So you hop in the left lane to speed up a little bit. And he gets in front of you and just is going five under the speed limit. And it's like, buddy, get out of the way. Let's go. So you make the pass, you get around him. As soon as he gets that, hey, Boom, right back in front of you, speed up, leaves you in the dust. Fantastic. And guess who you find a mile down the road going 5 miles per under the speed limit again, blocking the fast lane? Marcus Johansson. Just in cruise control.
Little JoJo.
It was maybe the most predictable thing I ever would have seen. Just, you know, of course, he gets the talking to, oh, we're back, we're fired up, we're gonna, and like you said, he scored yesterday, we're probably gonna get another goal or two from him, we're gonna celebrate, gonna pop bottles, and
the skill. That's what kills me.
It's just so frustrating because there's some guys, like you said, Freddie Gaudreau, he does work. Like, it's frustrating sometimes to watch him. I don't know if they necessarily put him in the best spots to succeed at times, a la the shootout the other night. Like, there personally, but he does try, and I appreciate that. Marcus Johansson, just do the same thing. Take a page out of Freddie Gaudreau's book. Take a page out of a Marco Rossi's book. Just try. Just apply yourself, because you're not applying yourself 100% of the time, and that's what's frustrating. You just go out there, and you're going to maybe do a period at a time, and okay, now, hey, what works over for the night. I made that one pretty outlet pass and, you know, sprung a breakout. I'll just go back to the bench. I'll take my shifts. Fine. Hey, mom, I'm on TV. Like, you know,
right.
Let's go.
It's perimeter. Like yesterday, it's as simple as this, because he's got the skill. Again, he's got the shot. That's the thing, is he's got the skills. Gaudreau doesn't. Are you willing to go into the, God forbid, the middle of the ice? And if you are, you're going to score some goals and you're going to make some plays. If you are going to figure skate along the edges, you're going to look very pretty and you're not going to do jack. The last thing is to backtrack to the Hustadinov front. He played 735, 11 shifts, and he was basically benched after he was a -3, which is not good. Okay. So he was on the ice for 3 even strength goals against, and that is a point, but here's the inconsistency. Gaudreau played 1259 and was a -3. And that's where, and again, this is not a rip on Gaudreau as if he's not trying to work hard, but it is so we're mad at Hustadinov, or we're trying to teach him a lesson, or we don't like what we saw, but we continue. And that's your depth problem again. Like, if you had nothing but veterans, like if Gaudreau was, you know, a B player, and he's probably more like C minus to a D this season, he's probably a D player. Like, but if you had nothing but veterans and it was good veteran depth, then I'd be like, yeah, okay, the kid's gonna have to sit. But you don't. Mm-hmm. You don't. And that's why when you put Rossi with a couple of guys, a couple of Jags, just a guy, he's not gonna look great, you know. And so anyway, final thoughts, because like for the most part, I wanted to do a show talking about the positive of the rookie impact and the fact that I think this, again, is why this team is on the right track in a couple of years.
Yeah, we're just kind of waiting for the end of the season, feels like, at this point. And as sad as that sounds, like, I wouldn't say I'm checked out by any means. I'm still watching the games. It's still fun to analyze and break down this team. But I just want to see, similar to how I'm asking Marcus Johansson to apply himself, and do the right thing. I want to see the coaching staff do the right thing as well. Like, look to the future. You've said it, John Hines, your job for next season is not dependent on whether or not you make the playoffs this year.
Right.
I will almost pat you on the back and applaud you and more if I'm not going to say mail it in, but you're able to move up a couple spots. Like, you fighting to the last day and hoping for like this weird parlay of the Knights lose and this other team loses, and you have to have 3 different outcomes go in your favor. And then you also need to get a regulation win, or like, no, I don't want that. I don't want to play Sudoku here just to figure out whether or not you can make the playoffs. Just make sure that these guys, Hustadinov, Rossi, the guys that need to be billboarded as they're either the future or they're not, we're finding out answers. We're finding out whether or not they fit what you want to do here with the Minnesota Wild. And that goes to Bill Guerin with the culture thing that we've seen for a while now. Just apply yourself similar as you're asking probably your players to do so. You know, if somebody needs a 30-minute sit down with Marcus Johansson, maybe Billy G needs a 30-minute sit down with John Hines and this coaching staff to figure out what exactly the message that we want to send for the remaining 10, 11 games is.
Amen, brother. Great stuff. We'll be back probably on Wednesday with Declan and Jesse Pierce for a show that will, well, among other things, tell you how far back the Wild's fallen behind the Golden Knights, and also set up a Thursday night game against the Sharks, which, by the way, I guarantee you the Wild's going to win, and they're going to act like, oh, man, we beat the San Jose Sharks. Beat good teams, huh? Judd's Hockey Show. We're out of here.